All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and we've got something special for you guys. Okay, so first of all, it turns out on my other channel, MGTOW.TV, I apparently got to 200,000 views as of today. Wow, that's pretty fucking amazing considering, you know, I just make videos for fun. That's what I do. I make videos for fun. I don't really get a lot of money. I mean, really, any money. It's just literally something I do for fun. And you guys like it so much that you've checked out all the videos over the years. Keep on doing that. That helps. And if you do want to donate, hey, feel free to. You can go to Patreon.com/Grimm's Dungeon of Comics. That's the one I'm using. Alright, so let's go ahead and get started with Geminism. Oh, that's cool. Oh, look at this. Yeah, look at the girls. Okay, so apparently all we can play with right now is Kikyo. Shinku I guess we'll get later. But let's go ahead and get started. So you guys can pick this game up at several different places. Steam, Jess USA, Manga Gamer, Kagura Games, and of course GOG, but they're a little late. They'll have it, they're just a little late. It'll probably be up by the time you see this video if you want to get it at GOG. I got mine at Jess USA. I want to be happy. Well, don't we all? Happy. No, we want joint happiness. Joint happiness. Joint with what? Round one. Fight. Crash. Kia! Bam! The echo of glass shattering is followed by a high-pitched yelp. The pitch betrays the girl's age, still clearly very young. Were it daytime, a scream like that would surely have people running from all directions to lend their aid, but in the dead of night, there are no such saviors. Such a cry coming from a schoolhouse undergoing demolition would be unsettling at any hour, but for one to come at such a time when children should be safely in bed is all the more disturbing. Gah! Thump! Flop! A shadowy figure, having fallen onto a waiting blue sheet, slowly picks itself up. However, the sheet, burdened by its load, begins to audibly tear. As the unknown figure groans in dismay, the sound of angered footsteps draws near. The blue sheet immediately collapses to the ground like an unfastened curtain. Two young girls face off. The girls, face to face, are symmetrical. It's as if each one is looking into a mirror. They have the same face. They have the same build. They have the same clothes. The two could be doppelgangers. The sole thing distinguishing them is the colors of their ribbons, one red and one violet. That, and the brutish weapon held in the red girl's hand. The air between them is tense. The red girl makes her move. Her silver hair dances in the wind, and the skirt of her outfit, reminiscent of a schoolgirl's sailor uniform, flutters about. Tokyo, 2:12 a.m. The dark sky is filled with a stagnant, damp heat. The sun has long given way to the night sky, yet its heat lingers in the narrow city streets. Looking up at the skyline, one can see a massive, monstrous silhouette in the distance. It's that of a large radio tower, so tall it seems to pierce the heavens. At the foot of that tower is a large plot of land. Within it is a broad building with a sprawling front yard. Were one to look down from atop the tower, its rectangular outline would stand out below. It's a large structure, made up of various facilities. Its rooftop is fenced in, and within the yard, it are a number of smaller sheds. Peeking through the windows, one might see a number of rooms where countless children must have spent countless hours. It's a school, or at least it was at one point. Destroyed school, demolition scene, AM 213. In a city where skyscrapers stand nestled together like a forest of buildings grasping at the sky to use as a much vertical space as possible, such a broad, squat structure stands as an oddity. By the way, let me fix this real quick. There you go. Within a small corner of that plot of land, wrapped in an industrial blue sheet, deep within that restricted zone, plastered in tape prohibiting entry, said tape, meant to perform the duty of keeping people out, rustles uncannily in the wind, as if it were a living creature itself. Clatter. The violet girl jumps away, escaping by a hair's breadth. The bat, having come so close to striking her face she could feel it on her nose, slips out of the red girl's hand and rolls away onto the floor. The force the girl is capable of generating is far greater than what her outward appearance would lead one to believe. She must have swung the bat with so much raw force that it slipped out of her hand, a grip too weak to hold on due to it having been lubricated with sweat. The boorish weapon, a slave to gravity, plummets to the ground with a violent thud. Preternatural strength, mystical spells, the power to summon familiars to fight by proxy. These are just a few of the superpowers that these two girls don't have. These are normal girls with average, no, perhaps even below average physical and mental strength. Still, even a weak girl can deliver a single terrifying blow with a blunt object should she recklessly throw her entire body's weight into it. And should such a violent blow strike an equally frail girl's head or other vital organs? Surely the wooden bat would crush the girl to bits. Stop dodging! The red girl bends down and picks up the bat with her left hand, not daring to take her eyes off her violet counterpart for even a moment. This kind of reminds me of Spy vs. Spy. Like, that goes way back, but that's what I'm thinking of right now. Of course I'm going to dodge. I'm sick of this. For those of you that don't know anything about Spy vs. Spy, they were essentially two rat cartoon characters that looked exactly like each other, and their idea was to basically take each other out. So this could have been inspired by Spy vs. Spy. The violet girl's face contorts as she cries out in response. These girls could also be quite a bit louder. I'm not hearing them. Where are my options? Ah! Here we are. Oh, we don't need that, but we do need that. Okay, screen settings, frame rate 60. Yeah. We don't want to hide the blood or skip the unread lines. Ah, the volume of the girls. Let's raise that all the way. And miss noise. I always like to keep the noise up. Background sounds. Sound effects up. And voices. Raise the music a little bit. I'm gonna raise the music just a little. Raise that master a bit. Nope, keep the master where it's at. Alright, there we go. Back. Now you should be able to hear these girls better. There we go. As if. Besides, using a weapon is unfair. I'm unarmed. You're insulting a completely unarmed girl. There's lumber all over the place. You could grab a piece if you really wanted. Besides, it's not like I've even hit you yet. Does that matter? That's just because you're so incompetent. The girl raises her head as well as her voice, shouting as if pleading with the other girl. C- Come on, Shinku's being unfair. She's cheating, right? I'm right, aren't I? She looks up at a tall platform placed squarely by the central building as if dominating the whole space. It seems like a small stage, yet in reality it's just a repurposed, worn-out meeting table. Atop it, a man draped in a shadow coolly takes a puff of a thin cigarette. Something, no, just about everything about the man's figure is fiercely unsettling. Is he a teacher? Could a man like this be a teacher? Surely in this day and age, a teacher smoking in front of his students would draw outrage. He'd be reprimanded, maybe even forced to resign. In conclusion, no. Nothing at all about this man suggests that he's school faculty. The man continues to draw smoke from his cigarette while looking down on the girls with contempt. As a matter of fact, he seems to be wearing a school uniform himself. That said, the cloak and hat give his uniform a rather old-fashioned impression. Clad in a uniform, he must not be a teacher. But a student? No, he's but a... No, but he's a grown man. A grown man dressed as a schoolboy. Yet somehow this isn't the primary reason the man is so unsettling. His entire face is eerily wrapped in bandages. His hand holding his cigarette too is hidden by a white glove. From his neck to his wrist to his ankles, scarcely a speck of his skin is visible. The thick cloth of his cloak, donned despite the warm humidity of the summer night, flaps about in the wind. His right eye is visible through the sole gap in his bandages, yet his expression is impossible to decipher. His pupil is as black as the abyss. It looks less like an eye and more like a deep black hole. The black pit rolls to stare at the shouting girl as he responds to her coldly. She's cheating is the accusation. What do you think? Whew. Thump. Another white trail of smoke rises into the void of night as if in response. Accompanying that trail of smoke is the silhouette of another man. The man, having just finished climbing the stairs, stands beside the bandaged man. I don't know. Is she? He's clad in almost identical clothing to the bandaged man, and their heights likewise are exactly the same. His shoulder-length hair bustles in the wind, yet through the darkness and gaps in his hair, his features are visible. His face is handsome and refined, as if finely crafted. A thin, insincere smile adorns his lips. This is a fight, no? One-on-one to the death, there's no such thing as cheating in a no-holds-barred squabble. The man cackles as he sits down carelessly on the table, crossing his legs and leaning back. I don't recall hearing that weapons were allowed either. Oh yeah, what? Were you thinking they were off the table? Their gazes meet. A soldier trades in blood, not honor. Yeah, okay. You don't have to get all fancy about it. Hey, Kikyo, weapons are allowed, okay? The long-haired man's cheery voice echoes throughout the arena. They're A-okay, 100% in the clear. He waves to the girl below as he shouts again, then makes a big circle with his arms when he has her attention. The violet girl, Kikyo apparently, looks up at him in despair. But nobody told me about that! Kikyo Hirosoma. She looks in front of her again, her gaze being met by the intense glare of the red girl, Shinku. There isn't even a glint of hesitation in her blazing eyes. Shinku Hirosoma. Kikyo backs away in fear, her gaze darting between the girl before her and the men staring down.
Yeah.
Come on, Awasumi, help me out here. What am I supposed to do? The bandaged man, Awasumi, responds to the girl with a courteous bow. It would seem I was gravely mistaken, Kikyo. Please do accept my sincerest apologies for my error. Awasumi Yamaga. He bows deeply to a perfect 45-degree angle. It's a textbook model of a sincere apology, yet he remains on the platform, not lifting even a finger to aid the girl. He clearly has no intention of helping her directly. Nah, poor thing. You see, things may as well be over for her, don't you, oh big brother dear? I am not your elder brother. Furthermore, the match's outcome is uncertain until the moment is over. Now lay off me, will you? Is it not enough for you to change up the rules as you please on a whim, Tsukishiro? The long-haired man, Tsukishiro, shrugs his shoulders and flicks his now-spent cigarette into the air. The discarded cigarette floats away on the wind and falls silently on the ground. However, clearly not having had his fill, he smoothly pulls out his box of cigarettes, flicks open the lid, slides one out, and sets it alight. It's a cheap lighter, like one you'd find someone using at a worn-down bar or a love hotel. Tsukishiro. This is no fair! It's not fair! You're always so unfair, Shinku! Shut up already! Huh? What did you just say? I said, shut up! You're annoying me! What? Am I wrong to complain that only you got to bring a weapon? I suppose such squabbling is only natural for a pair of twins. I wonder. There are definitely some twins out here that are pretty friendly, don't you think? Surely there must be a reason that cultures worldwide have detested twins as a bad omen since ancient times. Yeah? Then why do some cultures put them on a pedestal as divine blessings and saviors and children of the gods and all that? The holy and the profane. The holy and the profane have always been two sides of the same coin. To call a man divine is just a polite way to call him inhuman. Oh, that's a pretty neat way to think about it. But if we're being honest, isn't it all just because they're rare? Rare things always get special treatment, don't they? Why, yes, indeed they do. Yet if all the world treats something as special, does that not in itself make it special? You've got a point there. Hell, I've heard that historically when a king would have twins or whatever, they'd try to sweep that under the rug right off the bat. Killing an infant definitely goes beyond just special treatment, I'd say. Indeed, you cannot have two kings. Having two of the same person is unacceptable. Perhaps that goes for more people than just kings. Tsukihiro snickers, holding out his box of cigarettes to Awasumi. His bangs hang down in front of his narrow, bright gray eyes. His smile is soft enough that were his gaze directed at a teenage girl would surely set her heart aflutter. He looks to Awasumi's cigarette, which has been in his mouth long enough that it's almost entirely been reduced to ash. He can hear it smolder as its remnants crumple and fall. The girls, meanwhile, stare one another down with smoldering gazes while maintaining their distance. On another note, Tsukishiro, I have to castigate such casual littering, even if it is merely an expended roll of paper. School grounds should be kept clean for the sake of all children. It's very Japanese. He gives Tsukihiro a sideward glare while taking out a cheap portable ashtray from his breast pocket and snuffing out his own cigarette, all in one single, smooth, methodical gesture that hardly matches his eerie appearance. His gaze still fixed, he almost mechanically moves his arm to take a cigarette from the box and strike it with a match. The refreshing scent of a freshly struck fire wafts through the air for an instant before being swiftly replaced by the thick stench of tobacco smoke. Though Awasumi's expression is lit by the cigarette's light, his many layers of bandages make it beyond impossible to read. You really are a stickler for the rules, big bro. Quit calling me your elder brother. Furthermore, this is less a matter of the rules and more a matter of our imperative to leave no trace of our presence here. Is that really such a big deal? They're scrapping this whole place, declining birth rates and all that. What's wrong with dropping a piece of trash or two on an empty lot? A sudden scream accompanies the sound of timber rolling. The men watch as the two girls, like reflections in the mirror, violently tumble about on the ground. Oh look, they've taken things to the ground. Kikyo's got some fight in her too, huh? They really are twins. Come on, Shinku, show her what for! I haven't heard what for a long time. Tsukishiro, genuinely excited by the girls' tussle, eggs them on. Awasumi, meanwhile, continues to look on silently. Kikyo crawls away, trying to put as much distance between herself and Shinku, weapons still clasped in hand, as possible. Shinku advances, swinging the bat down on Kikyo's ankle. It was a relatively light swing. She didn't even put her hips into it, yet the pain in her leg still caused Kikyo to recoil and collapse face first with a painful thud. Ow! Kikyo involuntarily grasps her own face. She feels something warm. Her nose is bleeding. That hurt! Kikyo completely loses her composure. Shinku wastes no time coming once more to loom over her as she grovels on the ground, howling in pain. After a moment, Kikyo feels the long lock of hair stroke her cheek. She desperately tries to rise to her feet, but the weight she suddenly feels on her hips prevents her from doing so. Ugh, what are you doing? Kikyo moans in distress, her internal organs being crushed by the weight pressing down on her. Shinku presses her knees down onto both of Kikyo's arms as if riding her horseback, completely locking her down. Kikyo is unable to get her body even a centimeter off the ground. Stop! Stop it! Please! Shinku, let me go! Kikyo flails her body, trying to force Shinku off. However, between her injured leg and her arms being locked down, she's no match for Shinku, who is otherwise her equal in terms of weight and strength. Come on, Shinku. I'm begging you here. Let me go. You're so annoying. Just stop resisting. Shinku takes a deep breath and silently raises her bat. The tip of the bat glimmers with a soft light. Then without an ounce of hesitation, Shinku swings it down with all her might. Bam! Huh? Well, we've got a little bit of emerald in there. The bat narrowly misses Kikyo's head, colliding loudly with the ground. It rings out with a thud as she feels the recoil from the impact in her hands. Her slender arms grow numb from the impact, almost causing her to drop the bat accidentally. Shinku stares at her numb hands and thinks things through. I can't hit her from here. The bat's too long. Then all I have to do is this! She raises her still numb arms once more, then immediately lowers them. She hits Kikyo not with the tip of the bat like before, but with the butt of it instead. Though she can't put her full body weight into the blow, she nonetheless hits her with no mercy. The force of the blow is enough to crush Kikyo's tiny nose. Ow! It hurts! I can't take this! Why? Why are you doing this? Why should I have to fight with my little sister like this? Ugh! Ugh! You couldn't beat me, your older sister, in a million years. Hey, I'm the older sister. Ugh, that hurts. This is one of the more bizarre visual novels I've read. Obviously, you've got two sisters and two brothers, and they both appear to be twins. So, it's really bizarre, and I don't really know what's going to happen. I was revealed one thing when I went to VNDB, though. So, things might get a little bizarre and weird. I mean, I did say it was already bizarre, but it's going to get even more bizarre. And that wasn't one of the ones that was covered up, so it's pretty well known what's going to happen. It wasn't one of those, you know, that you had to click on a button, spoil me or anything. No, it was just there. I was like, okay, so I see what's going on here now. Crunch! Shinku's hands, still unaccustomed to wielding such a heavy weapon, are drenched in sweat. She swings the bat down again, once again missing her target, but slamming nonetheless into Kikyo's shoulder. Shinku can feel the bat recoil unpleasantly in her hands. The blow is accompanied by the sound of something small and hard bending and breaking. She's broken Kikyo's collarbone. Shinku, you'll regret this! This can't be happening. I surrender! Shinku attacks again before letting her finish her sentence. Kikyo is filled with a mixture of fear, rage, and confusion, all while being overwhelmed by an immense physical pain. Kikyo struggles to look up at Shinku, and when she does, she's met with an indescribable expression. And then, by the sight of the weapon being brought down mercilessly upon her once more. Crunch! Bam! Another emerald. Stop it! Shinku clobbers Kikyo with the bat over and over. Well, I wonder which one I'm gonna choose. I think she's just gonna get pounded to death with the bat. Great work down there. Whoa! A voice suddenly calls down to her. As it does, she expressionlessly stops her almost mechanical assault.
Shinku ちゃんったら容赦なさすぎだよ。
Alrighty, let's have you stop there for today, Shinku. Don't you think you're a bit too lacking in restraint?
そこまで。
Enough is enough! Shinku glances back at the men calling down to her, but merely responds by raising her bat once more. Why should I? Smash! You were the ones who... told me to! Wow. Do this, weren't you? Bam! I said enough! He loudly scolds Shinku, his tone cold. He clearly will not accept no for an answer. The outcome is already decided. Jeez, she won't listen to a word we say. The wooden bat rolls away, as if itself trying to escape the situation. All falls quiet. Shinku gets up and heaves a sigh. Her bangs cling with sweat to her forehead, her cheeks are completely flushed. Small tears are visible in the corners of her bloodshot eyes. On the other hand, Kikyo, or what's left of her, is crumpled pathetically on the ground. Her once tiny and cute face is completely battered and swollen, her face stained completely red from her nosebleed. Her eyes, hidden behind swollen lumps of flesh, stare vacantly into space. Her long hair and violet ribbon lie splayed on the ground, a blackish-red liquid visible through the gaps as it spreads out around her. Both knees, also having suffered severe scrapes, her once white tights are stained red. No matter how you look at her, bludgeoning with a baseball bat. It would seem the scales of judgment favored you this evening. I'll assume he approaches the girl as well, trailing behind Tsukishiro. Hell yeah! Tsukishiro pumps his fists in response. Despite the horrific sight of the violently battered girl before them, he cheerily hops around and lines up next to Awasumi. This is appalling beyond words, wouldn't you say? Tsukihiro chuckles at Awasumi's harsh evaluation and gives an exaggerated shrug of his shoulders. Yeah, Shinku, kind of messed up that you do that to a little girl's face. You've really got no restraint. You're twins, aren't you? You'd really do this to your sister? Tsukishiro's voice is loud and wild. Scary! In contrast and reaction to Awasumi's stern, unmoving demeanor, Tsukishiro shyly claps both hands over his mouth. Despite what he says, his gaze is fixated on the violated lump that was once Kikyo, seemingly fascinated. With this settled, we should make ourselves scarce at once. Wouldn't you agree, Tsukishiro? I guess. This most vital part of carrying out a ritual, as this is maximizing efficiency. With that said, where do you want? Now that's a toughie. Ah, what about you, Shinku? What's your pick? Huh? I don't care. Wherever's fine. Alright. How about her pussy then? I was gonna make this safe for work until now! Oh, yep. Yeah, definitely can't make that safe. Nope, that's not gonna pass. I can see the British Parliament giving me those side eyes. What do you mean, Grim? Tsukishiro smiles widely and thrusts out his arms theatrically, as if having just formulated the grandest plan in history. Shinku remains silent, glancing back at Tsukishiro with a look of disgust.
シンクちゃんも欲しかったんじゃない？シンクちゃんが顔ばっか殴ったから、キキョウちゃんの下半身ほとんど無傷じゃない？
Come on, you can't hide it from me. You really gave her face a good beating, but you left all around her waist completely untouched. That's what you want, isn't it?
うさい。私、腰のところに馬乗りになってたから、下の方を殴れなかっただけ。
Shut up!
あんたたちも見てたでしょ。
I was straddled over her back. Of course I wouldn't have been able to attack her there. You were both watching, weren't you? Well, I guess this is what we get to find out what the erotic beating tag is. Non-con erotic beating. I'd never seen it before in my life until I checked this novel out. So, I guess we're both going to see something.
まあまあ、そう言わず。おまんこあると楽しいよ。セックスできるよ、セックス。
No need to be like that. Besides getting her pussy, it'd be fun. We can have sex. Sex! Okay, I mean, that's how you feel about it. She's kind of crumpled. I mean, you know...
セックス
何のことかと思えば、ホトか。侮辱に対して下劣な発言は控えろ。
Of course, the first thing you think of is genitalia. I request you refrain from making such crude remarks in front of young girls, Tsukishiro. At least someone's got some sense.
どこでもいいって言ってる。
I'm fine with anywhere.She mutters to the ground, lowering her gaze away from both the exasperated Awasumi and Tsukishiro, having the time of his life singing about sex. By the way, it said 1996 when this game first started up. This is the first game that this studio has made in 22 years. I can see you blushing over there. All right, big bro. It's settled.
俺は兄さんではない。と、何度言えばわかる。
I am not your elder brother. How many times do I need to say that to get it through your skull?
厳粛かつ円滑な話し合いの結果、おま、あ、じゃない、僕とシンクちゃんは養父を希望するよ。
Now, I don't know if they're actually brothers...Or, because, alright, thinking about this, guys, if the older character is not the elder brother, then why is the older character acting like an older character and the one that would be presumably older acting like a younger character? This is really confusing the shit out of me. Eh, whatever. Shinku and I have completed our long and serious deliberation. Shinku has decided that she wants her pelvic region.Understood. I assume he lets out a quiet sigh as he widens his gaping void of an eye. Alrighty then, Kikyo, Kikyo! Tsukishiro strolls right over to Kikyo's corpse, shouting at her while violently shaking his shoulders. Kikyo, having died beyond a shadow of a doubt, somehow coughs up a lump of blood and once again begins to stir at Tsukishiro's prodding. Shinku is completely astounded. However, though her consciousness returns to her, smashed muscles and shattered bones naturally don't move as she wishes. Come on, wakey wakey. Tsukishiro shakes her body violently as she starts to once again show signs of life. Kikyo doesn't respond. She can't respond.She just sits there, her battered body being violently shaken. Though she still cannot move, she finally begins to once more cling onto consciousness by a thread. Awasumi appears before her.
Kikyo, 意識はあるな?
Kikyo, has your consciousness returned? A man in a cloak and school uniform stands right before her. His flesh is wrapped in bandages, leaving only a single unreadable eye visible. And in his hand...is a flashy black lacquer tachi. What? Is that a katana? Awasumi looks down at Kikyo. It's back to the night sky, assuming a weighty stance. With a showy gesture, he gradually begins to draw his sword from its sheath. The sound of metal scraping rings through the night sky. Naturally, one would expect the glimmer of a blade to come peeking out from the scabbard.However, the blade that should be there simply isn't. Yet he still continues to draw out his arm as if the blade that should be there actually were. What is he doing? Is he simply overacting? No, the blade that isn't there is. There's something there beyond the hilt. Something where the blade should be. Something there, something curved like a blade, cutting and distorting the scenery of the Black Knight and the black schoolhouse behind it. Kikyo stares up at Awasumi as he swiftly raises his blade to the sky and makes a quiet declaration. Indeed, our age-old wishes may be fleeting. He speaks in a calm, steady, yet small voice. The darkness of night absorbs his voice into itself, allowing it to permeate the world around them. Yet the true tragedy lies in their fleeting romance. As if in response, Tsukishiro calls out with a jubilant, dominating cry. The sudden dramatic display shocks Shinku into utter silence. Kikyo, gradually regaining consciousness, hears a similar dumbfounded expression, blinking in disbelief. It's so surreal that the girls are at a loss for words. The men move in perfect unison, standing symmetrically to one another with Kikyo between them. The hopes and dreams that we envision. On the shore between this world and the next, they come to fruition. We know that the sight of the world beyond, by the form it will show us when our karmic retribution has dawned. Thus longing for happiness in this wretched world, here we begin our quest. Awasumi draws closer and closer to Kikyo, still sat on the ground. Languid as long departed revenant, yet with no such lingering doubt within his movements, he guides his invisible blade, raising it above his head. Huh? What are you doing? Kikyo's cries of pain and despair are swallowed up by the night sky. Huh? No, wait, please. Still stuck on the ground, she desperately tries to drag her unmoving body to flee. Not that thing again. Forgive me, Shinkyo was being unfair, wasn't she? The rules were without doubt poorly communicated. Yeah, poor Kikyo. The poor communication was your fault. Let's not sweat the details. Let's get this done quick. Should be easy work for you, right, big bro? You sliced through him in a second last time. The men banter casually, utterly disregarding Kikyo's pleas. No. It's that thing again, isn't it? You're going to cut me again. I don't want to be hurt anymore. Don't be like that. Anyway, sometimes no means yes, ain't that right, Awasumi? I am not certain that such logic applies to this situation. Of course it does. This is what all women want deep down. The men banter casually, utterly disregarding Kikyo's pleas. Why are you doing this? Stay away from me with that creepy thing! Beg all you want. You can't stop this thing. This is what you and Shinku wanted, isn't it? Rules are rules. Rich coming from you. I recall you changing rules retroactively countless times. Oh, have I now? The men banter casually, utterly disregarding Kikyo's pleas. She shakes her head, desperately pleading for mercy. Yet, Awasumi continues to approach her step by step. She cannot fathom what expression may be on the face of the bandaged man looming over her. A giant shadow, thick as the darkness of the void, cuts through the sky, backdrop by the massive radio tower. The young girl is faced with a monster, a monster known as fear itself. Though the men must be hearing her words, she instinctively understands that anything she says would be a waste of breath. Her thin shoulders, quaking in fear, are suddenly gripped from beyond. Whoa there! It's okay, Kikyo. You've done this before. It's not like it's your first time. She doesn't understand what he's saying. She doesn't understand what's happening. She knows nothing but fear, yet she cannot escape. These men won't let the girl escape. Prepare yourself. It's over in an instant. Before you know it, Awasumi has already returned his bladeless katana to its scabbard without even audibly clinking his hilt against the chief. Splendid work, big bro. Tsukashiro's bubbly voice is accompanied by the muffled sound of his hands clad in white gloves clapping. I am not your elder. Enough of this. Let us hurry. Seemingly done with his performative verbosity, Awasumi efficiently slips his tachi into an instrument case. Alrighty, back to normal. Tsukashiro too returns to normal, kicking around a collapsed piece of timber while surveying his surroundings. The men suddenly start rushing about in a flurry. It's as if time has started to move once more, yet the girl's mind simply cannot keep up. Most disconcerting to Kikyo is that Awasumi most certainly did something to her, yet she cannot tell, feeling absolutely no changes to her body. He definitely cut her. That strange katana of his definitely should have cut through straight through her torso. Shinku makes a disgruntled face as well, glancing at Kikyo and the men back and forth. You two are aware that one who cannot smile at death will not know joint happiness, yes? The bandage-clad man speaks in a jarringly kind tone. Wait a second, what in the world is that supposed to mean? The next moment, the girl's face is stiffened. They freeze, a disturbing sensation coming bubbling up from the deep within their bodies. It hurts! And then, a shock as swift as the wind. Bludgeoning with a baseball bat. Win, Kikyo. Lose, Kikyo. Win, Shinku. Okay. One is stronger than the other, and one is weaker than the other. Gradually drift back to my senses. My head is heavier than lead. Where am I? I need to open my eyes. I try instinctually to do so, but my body has a hard time listening. I cautiously widen my heavy eyes. My vision is filled with a white blur. I can't focus on anything. Round two. The light stabs at my unadjusted eyes. I can't open them. I'm likewise overcome by a splitting headache as if someone's pounding on my head from inside. However, my headache is merely the first pain I notice. As I get used to the discomfort in my head, I start to realize that my legs, arms, every last part of my body is flooding my nerves with pain. It's as if each of my body parts has been waiting its turn to let me know just how terrible it feels. Throbs, aches, lingering pains, and whenever I try to move my body, spike of agony. Right now, my abdomen hurts more than anything else. I know this pain. I experienced it before when I was forced to share that tiny futon as thin as a rice cracker with my sister. When it would rain for a long time and I couldn't swap out my bedding, I got pains like this. That reminds me, I need to wake up. I'm sure my sister wants to go to bed. It's my turn to get up. Mother's waiting for me. Huh? Mother? I'm at home, right? This isn't home. Is this what my home was like? No, it's not. Right now, I'm... A black shadow falls over me, appearing like a blot of ink in my vision. It would seem you've awoken. My focus finally narrows in on the voice. A man completely wrapped in bandages stares down at me. It's Awasumi. A monster. Ow, that hurt. Alright, guys. So that's where I'm going to go ahead and end it. Alright, so this is getting really interesting. And, it's definitely one of those novels that doesn't reveal a lot, but there's plenty of mysteries. And it was written by the mangaka for Higurashi. So, definitely give it a shot. I think this is pretty good. It seems to have some erotic moments, but I'm not seeing them. Like, I'm not seeing a lot of them. It seems to be more bizarre and brutal than anything else. But I'm definitely interested in it in a plot level. Like, I really want to read this thing by myself and say, screw the rest of you. I'm not going to go ahead and put this on the channel, the rest of it. I'm just going to read it myself because it's getting really fucking interesting. Alright guys, so that should be a cue to buy it. It's not that expensive, literally. It's not that expensive and it's not that long. You can probably get through it pretty quickly for some of you. But alright guys, you can pick it up at Steam, Manga Gamer, Kagra Games, Jest USA, and GOG when they get it, which should be today. But alright. That's all I've got for this one, and I'll see you next time on Grimm's Hentai Corner, when we'll do another great hentai game. I'm out.